Good evening, listeners. It is June 26, 2018. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name's Terry Tackett, and I will turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. It's great to be talking to Marion again tonight. Again, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our service times are, we have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday, and our worship service is at 10:30. We also have a midweek service, youth group. A lot of things going on there lately. Come and see us. We'd love to have you visit. Our number there is 740-494-2222. And the number here is 740-383-9944. If you want to call in any time during the show, welcome and be glad to hear you. But
we have the one rule, though.
Yeah, we do, don't you? Nobody can be mean, right?
That's right.
Nobody can be mean, or we cut you off. We're nice people here, right?
Yep.
Of course we are.
That's the pastor's rule.
One thing I do want to remind everyone of, and I'm going to want to let everyone know, we have Bible school coming up on the 8th of July. In Prospect, we do a joint community Bible school that is between all four churches. There's St. Paul's. Lutheran, there's the Prospect Baptist, there's Prospect United Methodist, and then this year is our turn to host it at Community Christian Fellowship. And we're doing a theme this year called Moose on the Loose, and it's going to be an outdoor theme. It's going to be a blast, but it's for kids, it's from kids from age 4 through 6th grade. It'll be from 6:30 in the evening, or 6 o'clock to 8:30, excuse me, in the evening, on the 8th through the 12th. And anyone in the area that would love to, you know, bring your kids, we'd love to have them. And you can go online to register on our site at prospectccf.com, or on the Prospect Community site. And if you don't get that done, just register when you bring them. But we'd love to have your kids. They have a great time. And we usually run about anywhere between 80 and 100 kids.
I was going to ask, Pastor, is it okay, like walk-ups okay, too? I mean,
walk-ups are great. Okay, matter of fact, half our registrations are walk-ups.
Walk-ups, so, okay. Yeah, that's why I figured the night of it or whatever, they could just... Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. But, you know, but hey, it's a good chance to bring your kids in, let them have fun, learn some neat things about the Bible and Jesus. And then at the same time, maybe you can go buy groceries while they're there, or, you know, or whatever you want to do.
Run some errands
anyway,
or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Invite everyone to come.
Hey, before you get started, though, man, please just tell me a little bit about last week, that little excursion you were on, man. That looked fun.
That was fun.
All them pictures I see, looks like you guys had a blast, man. I mean,
we really did. You know,
some good kids it looked like you had there, too, you know.
You know, last week we talked about it a little bit with one of our crew leaders, and didn't have a chance to really talk a lot about what went on. We talked about what the program is, and we talked about how it, you know, what it was about. But as far as the what we did and some of the neat things that went on, we never really had a chance to get there. We had a blast. You know, you always wonder when you take off and go on things like this with teenagers, what it's going to be like. Are they going to get along? Is it going to, you know, one thing I learned that was really cool, Terry, is that, you know, everybody says that kids are stuck to their cell phones and they're stuck to their computers and you can't get them out of bed and they won't do this and they won't do that. I had an eye-opening experience last week because we actually took some kids that like to spend a lot of time on their cell phones, on their computers, and like to stay in bed, which is most teenagers once summer gets here.
Right.
But it was interesting. I'll give you our daily schedule a little bit. They pop out of bed at around 6 o'clock in the morning, and then they got to be at lunch, at breakfast by a quarter till 6, and eat breakfast. We're out of there by 10 after 7, headed to the job site, and the kids get out, and we start setting up immediately tools and workstations and everything that has to happen. And then, you know, we start working, and they're really good about trading off the crew leaders with each of the kids. Like, they'll let one kid do something for 10 or 15 minutes, and they say, okay, you've done that, let's move over to this job, and they'll bring another person in. So all the kids get to learn all the aspects of things they may have never done, from running a power saw to running a drill to running screw guns, understanding they do have to stay charged, all those kind of things, painting, you know, the cleanup process, everything that goes on, demolition, which they seem to like, and you know, safely doing all that stuff. But I saw these kids that as the week went on, there were some rules there that I didn't tell you about last week. Oh. One of the rules were that kids couldn't have cell phones.
Oh.
They had to turn them into their crew leader.
Oh.
Now, if there was an emergency, someone could still call and the crew leader had the phone there. Or if they needed a call at home, it was up to the crew leader. If you want to call mom and dad at night, go ahead. But there was no cell phone use as far as checking in with your friends, doing all that. None of that.
But now here's the question. Without those, it seemed like they still stayed busy, though. Is that correct? I mean, they still found other stuff to do other than not having the cell phone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't have, what I'm getting at is they didn't have the cell phone.
Yeah.
They were very regimented. I mean, you're not going to get kids to get out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning normally anyway. But the kids got out of bed. I had a great assistant with me. We were kind of, she was girls, I was boys. So we were assistant to each other as far as chaperones. Melody Baker from LaRue went. And we had two crew chiefs on the job. And our job was encouragers, to encourage the kids. And, of course, we did the work, too. And but anyway, the thing that came to me with all this was, here's these kids that say, oh, my kids won't do this. You hear this all the time. We took their phones away. We told them what they had to do and when they had to do it. And I'll be honest with you, the first couple of days, it was hard. We had some blistering heat out there. And we had to make sure we stayed hydrated and kept the kids busy. But you know that by the end of the week, I think just about every kid, if they were asked, would have stayed a few more days. You know, they got in, they were feeling good about what they did. They were feeling energized. They were feeling like they had accomplished something and something good. And they did it all without anything electronic other than the tools we used. And, of course, our evening schedule, when we come back in, we had shower trailers. Now, our association has shower trailers. We have washing machine trailers. We have all these things that go out to disaster sites anyway. And so we had a girl shower trailer and a guy shower trailer, had four showers apiece in them. And at 4 o'clock, you get in line to start taking your shower. And you go into, it's just like a great big mobile unit, pole unit that's got showers in it. And so they did that at 4 o'clock, and then after, then they had some free time and to do, hang out, do whatever. And then 5 o'clock, we're eating dinner again. And we're getting ready to eat dinner again. And then afterwards, there was a worship service, and a minister that from Florida actually came and spoke every night. And after that, we had personal time with our own groups. Because one thing they did there that was also interesting was when we got there, they split all the kids up. So if you wanted to just hang out with your friend and do your own thing, that wasn't going to happen. When during the work day, you were on a team wherever you were put. We had one girl that came with us that had no one else from our church even on her team. And she loved it. She had a great time. Matter of fact, she gave her life to Christ over the weekend, and that was a blessing, huge blessing. But, you know, you saw that all the things these kids say they can't live without, their phone, their friends, their sleep, they did a great job, and they had a blast, and they did a good job. And the people that we did the work for loved them. So I guess what I'm trying to say out there, I was very encouraged that our kids are still the good kids we hope they are. And they're still able to do these things, as some of the same things I did growing up. But the other thing that struck me is, parents out there, please realize, you can motivate these kids to do stuff. You just got to make them do it. Now, I'll be honest, going to this project, had these kids known up front that they were going to take their phones, split them up, do all those things, probably most of them would have not signed up to go. But they did sign up to go. They found out this stuff. They get there. And, of course, they knew, their parents knew ahead of time because there was a list of do's, don'ts, things you bring and all that. And all that was, most of that was spelled out. But after being there and doing it, I think most of them will want to do it all over again. So I think that a lot of the responsibility comes back on us to what are we requiring our kids to do. We give in too easy, I think, sometimes. I don't want to get out of bed. Okay, stay in your room, leave me alone. Get off your phone. I don't want to get off my phone. I'm taking your phone away. No, you won't. Yeah, don't take the phone away. Oh, you know, it goes on and on and on. You know, do this. I need you to do that. I don't know how to do that. I can't do it. You know, that's too hard. I'll hurt myself. On and on and on. I think it comes back to a lot of it is how much time are we investing in guiding them to do these things? Because that's what really worked on this trip, was that we had people that were invested in helping them to understand what they were doing, showing them why they were doing it, giving a purpose for doing it, and then guiding them to do it. And they were had overseers around them all the time. So I think that, you know, we have to come back to how much time do we invest in the kids? And we have to be willing to invest that time.
Sure.
What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. Like I say, and it just sounded wonderful. You know, I mean, just everything. I seen all your pictures and just talking to you guys on the phone. It just sounded like you were having a great, great time. You know, and
we were,
and you were really getting a lot out of the kids. You know, and they were having fun participating and just, you know, helping these people that needed help. And you know, and it just sounded
there were
like
35 kids there.
Wow,
and about 20. Adults, man.
Okay. All right.
And we had...
Now, is that a fairly normal size group, or is that... I mean, what's a normal... I mean...
2 years ago, they had 50 kids. Last year, they had 12. And this year, I think they had somewhere 32 or 35.
Man.
So it varies.
Yeah, okay.
But...
And that's all done, like you said, on the phone, based by signups and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, okay.
So if you look at what got done, I think there were, if I'm not mistaken, there were... Three decks built, handicap ramps, several handicap, some porches and handicap ramps, smaller porches with ramps off of them, a lot of railings put up, a lot of painting that was done, brush cleanup. But when you look at the amount of kids and what we had, we really only had 3 days, not four, because the first day you got to think of just getting people acclimated, you know, the first few hours. And then our last day was more wrap up and clean up than it was actual work. Now, not for all of them. We had one project where the kids were not only building a deck, but they were putting a handicap ramp that thing was about 30 feet long, you know, to get out to this to the street where this lady needed to be. And they used the whole last day to finish their project. But beautiful jobs they did. And I'll be honest, I would take our crew of kids that we had, and our crew, we were split up into about 6 kids per crew and 4 adults. And I would take our crew, honestly, and go anywhere and supervise them and build a deck and know that we could do it and do it right. I mean, these kids learned, and they learned how to run drill drivers and drills and do everything. I mean, post hole diggers. And we were going through some pretty rough, gravelly stuff, and they just did a great job.
Great.
Learned how to use a level,
that's
you know,
great.
How to measure things properly,
sure.
How to use a power saw, and you know, that's something that not every kid gets a chance to even learn how to do safely,
right.
To do that
right.
stuff.
Right. Right.
But it was great, and we had a great time of worship in the evening, and the kids singing, and it was just, and plus we had wonderful cooks,
oh.
And great food all the time,
good.
And plenty of it. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't anything to complain about. But, you know, I was thinking, I was just on the phone on the way here with one of our guys in the church, and he said, you know, it would be great if we could bring something like that here. And I think that, you know, to get on the list eventually we could. But we were talking about, and I know one of the ladies in our church even mentioned it last week, you know, why couldn't we do a Marion County Changers or something to that effect? And do the same thing and have us host it and get a couple other churches involved in youth groups and target some areas and do it right here. And we could do that. And most of the work was done for, most of them were senior citizens, about all of them were really. And the need was there. And one of the things that they needed to be was a homeowner, because just of the structure of the way it's done.
Sure.
If someone owns the building, other than the homeowner, like a rental property, it's up to them to do those things and make sure they're right. But a lot of times you'll get a homeowner that, you know, let's be honest, when they get retirement age, they're barely squeaking by, especially with the cost of drugs. I just talked to a guy the other day that said they were upping his medication a month, that one particular medication he had to take was $1,000 a month. He said, I can't take it. I can't even do it. But anyway, so these people are they're truly in need. And, you know, when their deck starts rotting or they don't have a handicap ramp for their wheelchair or their steps start falling apart, what do? They can't do it themselves. Right. And in this particular case, the funding was provided, a lot of it, if I'm not mistaken, the actual dollar funding of the materials was done by the city of West Jefferson. And then we provided all of the labor and everything else that went with it. And but in some, it depends on there's monies that come from different places, but it's when we look at the materials we went through, there was a lot of money spent in materials. And but you know, when you're going to get the labor for free and the time, you know, that really helps a lot.
So. Well, if you guys try, you know, ever decide to do something like that around here, definitely, you know, stop at Home Depot because they donate to a lot of materials for stuff like that. So,
and you know, a lot of different places do. I know a few years ago we worked with Menards, on World Changers,
sure,
which we mentioned on the show last week.
Yeah.
World Changers goes everywhere,
absolutely,
and in the United States, and I actually was a job superintendent on 5 crews a few years ago in Columbus.
Wow.
And that we were hustling.
Yeah. I mean,
they're doing everything from putting on roofs to building decks to. We had a crew this week of kids and 4 adults, and the rest were kids, put in 28 windows. I mean, they're putting in windows.
My goodness.
And painting. I mean, these kids were, I mean, tearing out the old, putting in the new, and sealing them and breaking the metal and wrapping them.
That's awesome.
It's amazing to see what these kids do. But, you know, under the right supervision, they can do it.
Yeah. Well, not to get you sidetracked from the show, but I just wanted to ask a little bit about, you know, about how it went.
No, you're fine, Terry.
And then also, too, I wanted to let you know you sounded great when on the call. It went across good on the radio.
I was concerned about that because we were...
When it was great.
We were in a pastor's office, and we were on a speakerphone, and right behind us was a gym, and they kept blasting the door with balls.
Went across great. Yep.
Well, I'm glad it did.
Yep.
Actually, though, it's fine that you brought it up, because to be honest with you, I wanted to use this show to kind of talk about some
good.
Of this stuff.
Okay.
So that's where
okay.
I was headed
good.
Anyway.
All right, good.
But, you know, it's one of those things that we look as Christians what we're called to do. And we're called to be salt and light. And salt and light is, you think about that. What did the Bible call you salt for? Why do you want to be salt? Because salt's the flavoring of stuff. And we're not called to be bland. We're called to be the salt. We're called to flavor society, to give it a good taste. Does that make sense? And in Scripture, we read that, and many times people wonder, what does it mean to be salt? And it even talks in Scripture about, you know, if the salt loses its flavoring, what good is it? And what they're talking about that, you think, well, how can salt lose its flavoring? I'll give you a little history lesson here. The salt they're talking about in Bible times, they would go right out into the sea, and they would pull it in, but it was attached and mixed through mineral and rock. So when they would cook with it, after a while, the only thing left would be the mineral and rock. So it would lose its flavoring. You see where that comes from.
Yeah.
And what the passage is talking about, as Christians, if we lose our flavoring, what good are we? If we lose the fact that we're giving a good taste to society of who we are, what good are we? And then it also talks about to be salt and light. What's light? Light is something that's visible, that you're attracted to, that you turn towards. So to be salt and light means that you've got to be out there in the world showing people the love of Christ. I mean, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, I mean, Jesus healed people, didn't he? He healed the sick, the lame. He taught people to care for other people and to put others before themselves. And we don't certainly do enough of that anymore. A lot of things I love to see in a lot of churches is... when they'll either have a sign up over the door inside or something somewhere in the church, or they'll say it periodically from the pulpit, that the ministry is out there, not in here. See, the church is where we go to get equipped to go out into the mission field. The mission field's out there. And if all we do is come in and hang out and sing songs and pat each other on the back and go home, we're missing the boat. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about those people too in the Bible a lot. They were called Pharisees. And he didn't speak very highly of the Pharisees. Maybe dead men's bones might have been something that he called them. You know, basically a stuffed suit. They wore the cloaks, but they didn't do anything as to what they should have. And I think we have to be careful that we remember that the ministry is out there. We've got to be meeting the needs of people. But understand something, too, and this is where some controversy can come in. Is that the church in itself is not a social welfare agency. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What I mean is, the church is to meet the needs of the needy, right? The Bible talks about the widows and the children. But it also talks about the fact that someone who does not take care of their family is worse than a non-believer. So there's a responsibility of taking care of your own. It also says that if someone is not willing to work, that you're to put them out from among you. So the church has to be there to meet the needs of people who are truly needy, to encourage, to lift up, maybe to meet that person that has trouble with working, doesn't want to work. There are those out there. And encourage them and show them and get them on the track to work. But as far as just constantly handing out but not sharing the true message, which is the message of Jesus Christ, is not ministry. Ministry, real mission work, has an evangelistic aspect to it, because that's what we're called to do. You know, Terry, I can feed you all day long. I can feed you for your entire life. I can clothe you. I can put a roof over your head. But if I truly believe, as a Christian, that without Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity without him, if I don't share that with you, what does that make me? It doesn't make me salt and light, that's for sure. Because why am I taking care of someone's physical needs and just watching them go through life and get to the end and not have Christ? That's why we have to share both if we're truly in missions.
So you have to feed both their spiritual needs as well as their like
absolutely food. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And many times the society thinks the church is just there to meet the physical needs, and we're not. And that can be mistaken. You know, I always invite people to church when they come to something or they need something, and like if we need to provide something for a need they have, I always invite them to church or say, you know, why aren't you in church, or do you go somewhere, and encourage them and try to reach them in that aspect, because I truly believe too that as they become engaged in the church, a couple things will happen. If they give their life to Christ and they start leading that biblical example, they'll have more consistency in what they're doing, and their life will probably be better anyway as far as a physical and a income aspect. But the other part is that as you become part of the church and part of the church family is there to understand your needs and meet you there, whether they be physical, spiritual, emotional, in the area of friendship, your children, all those things. Like, if you would look at our church as the church that I pastor, one thing I try to encourage within the church is to help the people to understand that we are a body of believers. We are one in Christ. And because of that, we should be open and willing to share our needs with each other. I'll give you an example. A dear friend of mine and a man that sits on our deacon board had an issue yesterday, a health issue, and was rushed to the hospital. And immediately, in a very brief period of time, you know, his family called, and we had people on their way to the hospital. Why? Because they had to know he's part of our family. We love the guy. You know, so you're there. And he's going to be off work for a few weeks, and I will guarantee you there will be people that are offering to take him places. That's part of the church family, and that's kind of a bonus to being part of it. Is people understand your needs. You're not hanging out there alone. And we shouldn't want to, we were never intended to be a people kept to ourselves. You know, those guys that live out in the woods and never come out and never talk to anyone, that's not the way God ever intended us to be. We are a social people. He made us that way. But we have to keep it in perspective as to what is first and foremost is we need to understand that Jesus Christ loves us dearly. And God loved us so much that he sent his son to pay for all the sin of the world so we could have that relationship with him. See, God couldn't look on sin. He abhors it that much. But Jesus could cover that sin with his blood. And to have that relationship is so important to understand. All you got to do is accept the fact that he did that for you. It's not some huge thing where you got to constantly be paying penance and doing all these things like you see in some religions. You're constantly paying for something. Well, I don't have to pay for anything. Christ paid it for me. And when I accept that, I understand that. It gives me the perspective that I need to have on how I should function in society. See, Scripture tells us we're to love him because he loved us first. You know what I mean? It's a reciprocal love. He loves us, so then we love him. It's not that we're begging him to love us. He already does. You know, it's not that he wants the best for us. He already does. We just need to recognize that and then live in it. And when you do that, it allows you then to have that relationship. I mean, why do we go out into these communities and do things for these people? It's not because I need a pat on the back. No, most people will never, ever know I was involved with that or did it. It's not because we have to feel good about what we did. It's certainly not because there was any money involved. There's a lot of people there that took work vacations to do this. Why do they do that? They do that because God put a care and a love in their heart for these other people and to know that they're genuinely helping. And even in that case, these people didn't get away without hearing about the Lord. We had a celebration for them on Thursday night, and they came to the back to the church we were all staying at, and we had a dinner that night, and they had a dinner, and then we went into the sanctuary and recognized them, gave them a chance to say a few words if they wanted to about what they thought of the kids and whatnot, and then each one of the groups stood up, and everyone introduced themselves as to who they were. And then we had a pastor give a wonderful gospel encouraging message about, you know, what Jesus Christ had done for them. And they were welcome to, now, they were welcome to stay for that or leave. When it came time for the message, it was announced that, hey, if you don't want to stay, you're more than welcome to go, but we'd love you to stay if you will. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure anyone left or not. I think most of them stayed. But the whole point, we wanted to see those people see that Christians love God and why. And it worked. And they saw that. And they were just so thankful. And the kids were very humble about it. And the kids were very moved by some of these older people and what they were doing. And it was such a joy to them to see these people be. The lady that we built the deck for, when she first found out this group was going to come and do these things, and I don't know the exact particulars of how the word got out or how they knew to apply with the city for us to be on our list, but when our team leaders went out to inspect the everything prior to this happening, so they'd know what needed done and what. So when he went out to meet this lady that we did and inspect it, this dear older lady, all she wanted done was her handrails tightened up so she wouldn't fall, because she get it. The steps were too far apart. They were too high, and her handrails were all floppy. She said, "Could you guys just come and tighten my handrails?" She didn't know that we were going to go in there and strip that baby out of there. We used a lot of her framework and then just reinforced it and put some new stuff in it. And then she got a brand new deck. I mean, she got a new deck, two double sets of steps down each side, the lattice work or the railing put around it with all the spindles back in and the lattice work put up. And then what all the kids got to do, and this was really fun, on every project we did, the kids got to make a special project and sign it. And what most of the kids did was they built a flower box that would sit up on the deck with legs, and they painted it and decorated it however they wanted to decorate it. Then each one of the kids individually took a wide permanent colored marker and signed their name on it. And we presented that to them when we went back to clean up on the last day. And I'll be honest with you, I'm sure it did other places, but on the particular job we were on, it certainly brought tears to the lady's eyes. And you know what? Something else it did, though, Terry? It probably renewed her faith in young people. Because it's really easy when you get older today to become cynical of our younger generation. But these elderly people got to see the cream of the crop, man. And I got to tell you something. All those kids out there can be the cream of the crop. We just got to get busy as adults and really start funneling more energy into what we're doing with them. We got to quit expecting the school to raise our kids. You know, we've got to quit expecting kids just to babysit themselves with social media and whatever modern technology they have. And really start investing that time again. You know, I look at when I grew up, a lot of the things that I learned and what I did. And, you know, it didn't happen by chance. There were people that invested time in my life. My dad died, I've told you that before, in a car accident when I was 13. And I had a teacher named Ken Jones, and a school teacher. And Ken kind of picked up the things from that point and taught me how to, oh boy, he taught me how to solder and do woodworking and staining and just really went the extra mile. And later on, and as I got older, he taught me how to do body work and would invite me out to his house and do body work. And I had my brother-in-law Dean, bless his heart, I asked us to pray for him last week. He's got muscular dystrophy. He's really bad. But he taught me mechanical work and how to wrench on cars and do all those other things that Ken didn't teach. And, you know, all those things that were taught, they were taught because someone took their time to stop and say, I'm going to teach this goofy Steve kid how to do this stuff. And I had a job. I worked, you know, I worked from the time I was, and one of my first jobs, I worked at a precast concrete plant in the summertime, and I learned cement, and I learned about forms and measuring, and I worked at a gas station in the wintertime and learned about changing tires and changing oil. You know, kids just aren't doing this stuff today. But what this last week showed me, that they still can. We just got to do it. You know, it's really easy to use the excuse to not help these kids that, oh, they won't do it anyway. Kids just won't do this stuff today. Well, why? It's because we're not stopping and doing it with them. And I would just encourage more people out there to do it. Be a mentor. You know, we're always hearing about mentors. Be a mentor. There's a lot of kids out there that don't have a dad. Some don't have a mom. Ladies, be a mentor to the young lady that doesn't have a mom. You know, there's really no excuse today, if you think about it, Terry, for young people to grow up and not know how to cook. Think about that. I mean, it's not that hard to do. Look, point to yourself. You're not a cook or anything. You know what? I grew up and I watched mom in the kitchen, and I think that a lot of my cooking came from learning out of necessity when our kids were young. And Shirley and I had a $30 a week grocery allowance, and we had three little and eventually four kids at home. You better learn how to cook or you're going to starve.
My saving grace has been a crock pot.
Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah. But it can be for anyone today. But
man, best $10 investment I ever made.
You know, it's really sad today. it's hard to give away a sewing machine. And I have met more young ladies and more young women that have learned it and love it, and they're making stuff. Once they learn how to start, they're saying, well, I can do this. I can alter my clothes. I can make curtains for my house. I can do all these things, and it's fun. But most people don't. That skill is becoming a lost skill, and it shouldn't be a lost skill. And there's so many other skills that young people, kids just don't learn today. It was really funny to watch these boys last week on this trip, because these teenage boys, let me tell you something out there. There is no difference when it comes to mechanical skills and what's going on between the girls and the boys. The boys haven't learned them today either, for the most part. And it was really funny to watch boys that didn't know how to drive a nail. And by the time I was most of these kids' age, I was building stuff. I wasn't just driving a nail. But we had one girl, Chloe Price, on our team, and I was teasing her all week. I was calling her Man Girl, because this girl had a work ethic that was unbelievable. And she would saw, and she would dig, and she would run screws in, and it was blistering. And she just, you had to make the girl take a break. But she learned a lot. But, you know, we can do that with these kids. And teach them to cook and teach them things. You know, mom and dad, teach your kids how to balance a checkbook. Even if you don't know how, maybe now's the time to get out the stuff and learn how with your kids. You know, all these things that we can learn that makes us be able to save money. You know, I save a boatload of money at home because I know how to fix things when they break. I don't have to call the plumber. I don't have to call the electrician. I mean, I'm not telling you that you're going to get that deep into it, but the point is, some people just can't do anything anymore, and it costs them a fortune. And you know, honestly, Terry.
Well, but some people, to look at your point, for example, like you said, the oil change. A lot of people have the mindset now, well, it's easier just to pay $20 or whatever and have somebody for them to try to do it.
Yeah, where do I dump the stuff?
Yeah,
all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. I'll be honest with you. I drive through those places now because it's easier for me.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, I never would even enter my mind to pay someone to change my oil. There wasn't no way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going buying 5 quarts of oil, pulling the plug, and taking the filter off, right. And $10, I had it done.
Yeah.
And you can still find that stuff on sale and do that stuff real cheap. Mm-hmm. But anyway, you know, that's all what I was talking about, Salt and Light. And that's all part about being part of Salt and Light. You know, it's not just going out and passing out Bibles, which is great. We need to do that. It's not just telling people about the Lord. It's but telling people, look, I care about you. I want to see you rise up and have a wonderful life. But it starts with Jesus. And I'm willing to help you in the meantime. Get on your feet. Do whatever it takes. But, you know, ultimately my goal is for you to have a better life in Christ and a better life in general for your family. So we're about out of time, aren't we? How many, what do we have? 6 minutes. Okay, wow. Your clock's off, Terry.
Yeah, I know.
You did that just for me, didn't you?
Yep.
So when I would come in, I'd think, man, I'm horribly late.
Yeah, no.
But I cut the wire close today, didn't I? But anyway, it's been we're having a great summer, getting a lot of things done at the church. I do look forward to Bible school. Our kids have a blast at Bible school. And I got to tell you something. This year, Miss Shirley, my wife, is doing the snacks for Bible school. And kids, you got to come and have Miss Shirley snacks at snack time at Bible school, because she loves to see kids smile when it comes to food. And she makes some neat and tasty stuff. You know, she does our free lunch program, summer lunch program, I should call it, during the summer.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. I came by there the other day, and maybe I didn't see this correctly, or if I did correct. Did I see a sign where it said you guys do 350 lunches or something like that? Or was that on a sign, or did somebody tell me that?
I don't know what.
I thought in front of your church I seen it said something about you serve. You serve approximately 350.
No, but we do have a sign out there that says free lunch.
Yeah, I seen that
Monday
yeah.
through Thursday.
I'm sorry, I don't know where I thought I seen that on that
it,
sign.
It's Monday through Thursday. We do it at 11:30 to 12:30, and we do senior citizens at the same time. Seniors are welcome to come. You know, school age kids, and. They get a free lunch, and it's a great lunch. Shirley makes a good lunch. I was actually doing some shopping with her today, excuse me, and she was buying things like bacon and sausage patties and you know, she wants the kids to be happy with what they eat, and they are. What, you know what they had today? Today they had pulled pork sandwiches and mashed potatoes and green beans and fresh strawberries. Yeah, that's pretty good lunch.
That's a good lunch, yeah, man.
You know, the kids like it. And, wow. Yeah, she really that she does that from her heart. She yeah. just loves to do it.
Yeah.
And we do that through the whole, you know, until school starts again.
Yeah.
And then we'll pick up with our backpack program. We service the Elgin District in that.
Yeah.
And that's for elementary kids, too.
I want to tell you, I want to help you with that this year. If it's,
well, that'd be great.
Yeah, I want to help you with that. So
so many people, I'll tell you, Terry, have been so generous
yeah.
with helping out and saying, yeah. what can we do to help that program?
Absolutely. I want to help that.
Because it is an expensive program.
Yeah.
And it it helps. You know, last year, I think we were, some of their neighborhood, 150 backpack lunches taken to the school every Friday.
Yeah.
2 years ago, we were up to 225, though.
Wow.
So either the economy is getting better or something,
yeah.
or they don't like our food. But anyway, it's a great thing.
Miss Shirley's food, you're saying? Come on.
Yeah, she's good. No, it's a great program. And once again, that's part of that salt and light thing. You know, it really is. And just encouraging people and letting people know. You know, I want everyone out there to know, look, we're there for you. If you need somebody, you need a pastor to call me, call me. You know, 740-494-2222. If you don't get me, leave a message for me. Pastor Steve would love to talk to you, whatever your need is. Whether you're going through a time of grief from losing a lost one, losing a loved one, or, you know, whatever the need is. Maybe your family's falling apart. Maybe whatever it is, you're having a problem with your kids. Give me a call. I'd love to encourage you. I'd love to help you get through that. There's a lot of lonely people out there, Terry. And you know, all of us have gone through loneliness ourselves. So, please give us a call. Hey, listen, love all you guys. Give me a call one of these nights when you want to talk. Evidently, I'm talking too much. You're not getting a chance to call in. But we'll see you next week. And, again, this program plays tomorrow at 3:15. So if you know someone that wants to hear it.
Give your info again before you.
We are at 209 East Water Street. It's Community Christian Fellowship. We're in Prospect, Ohio. Our number is 740-494-2222. We are also at prospectccf.com. And would love to hear from you. We're Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 10:30. And we have a Wednesday evening Bible study at 6:30 at the church. And there's a couple off-site, too. So
Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School is the 8th. Once again, please bring your kids. It's at our church this year. You can register that evening if you need to. And that is, it's going to be from 6 to 8:30. Great time. The kids will have a blast. Crafts, stories, from 4 years old to sixth grade. So it's going to be a neat time.
Yeah, and the theme of it is
Moose on the Loose, and it's a basically a camping theme, and we're going to have different stations they go to. And man, we got a lot of trees that came in on donation. We're
wow.
putting up Christmas trees everywhere for pine trees,
awesome.
And we got a boatload of them.
Awesome.
We're going to have some tents, and it's going to be great. So hey, God bless you all, and I'll talk to you next week. Again, check out the show tomorrow if you get a chance. Night.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP.